let's start with, what is the Romney-Ryan plan for space?
He, in his words, says America's space program's an integral element of national prestige and power that protects our citizens while inspiring future generations. He considers it an engine of technological innovation and economic viability, and he believes that rebuilding NASA, restoring U.S. leadership, and creating new opportunities for space commerce will be the work he'll strive to achieve.
I heard Paul Ryan say at one point that the plan was to bring together the stakeholders, NASA, the Pentagon, private industry, and so on, to make a plan because there isn't really one in place right now. Is there more to it than that?
Well, that's an important component of it for sure. For too long, NASA has been politicized. You know, the goals of NASA has changed with each new administration, with the turnover in Congress every 2 years. You might remember when candidate Obama, then Senator Obama, was running for president, he appeared on the Space Coast and said that he would close the gap between the space shuttle and the Constellation program, which was the program of record at the time. Then after he got elected, he canceled the Constellation program. There have been over two dozen programs started and stopped before they reached their goals in the last two decades. And I think Romney and Ryan both anticipate changing that.
Can you tell me a bit about your recent legislation, the Space Leadership Preservation Act? What would that do?
Nicole, that would do precisely what we were talking about earlier, and it would take the politics out of NASA. It would have a board of directors of astronauts and eminent scientists. We'd, you know, include the Air Force, obviously, for national security reasons, leading universities and others to be on a board of directors. And they would set the goals for NASA on a rolling 10-year average, and we would appoint a NASA administrator for 10 years. And that would also bring us to long-term funding, or what we call procurement of spending for NASA, much like we do agencies like the FBI, so that it will not change every time the office of the president changes or members of Congress are elected. I mean, NASA, our space program, which is, you know, an important part of our national security, has been like a big pinata. I mean, you have the Department of Energy rating it for like $5 million to store RU-238, the uranium we use for spaceflight. I mean, they were already assigned and already budgeted to do that, but they were able to pass an amendment on the House floor. We had, you've probably never heard of this guy, but a congressman named Weiner from New York who amended out $100 million of NASA funding to put in a very unaccountable Big City COPS program. As I said, it's been a pinata, and so it's instead of staying laser-focused on a goal and united as things were under President Kennedy, it's now a shoot-from-the-hip, big pinata of funding to attack.
You've said you support returning to the moon by no later than 2022. What dividends would that yield for American space exploration, and how would that help Florida?
Well, first of all, I'm not the only one that advocates that. The late Neil Armstrong, the first man to step on the moon, advocates that. Gene Cernan, the last space commander, advocates that. And the last man to walk on the moon advocates that. Number one, we know that the Russians and the Chinese are both going to the moon. They're going there to colonize it. They have not made that any secret. That's not some secret intelligence. It's well publicized. Astronauts from both countries have talked about it on TV. I've seen it on public TV. You know, we went to the moon to get rock and studied the origins of the universe and the Earth, and they're not going there for the same purpose. So it's important that we have a presence there, number one. And number two, there's a lot of science that can be developed and potential great resources on the moon. Number three, it's an important staging area for further interplanetary or other space flight with the difference in atmospheric conditions and the cost of getting on and off the moon in essence of fuel. So it's also an important staging area for future manned human exploration of space.
There's been a return of some jobs to Florida's space industry as commercial rocket production slowly ramps up. They've been mostly private and focusing on low Earth orbit projects. Does Romney's approach have an overarching big picture plan for NASA and the future of space exploration that will bring back some of those jobs lost on the Space Coast and have a long range impact?
Certainly he does. And one thing and that's important to note, that Romney and Ryan recognize that NASA has long been asked to do too much or too little. And I think they've made it clear that they believe NASA has to have a clearer message and a clearer set of goals. The president's goals, as you may know, are vague to somewhere someday. Maybe an asteroid, maybe a meteorite, maybe this, maybe that, but there's no goals. And, you know, there's an enormous amount of NASA money spent on studying the climate and global warming. I mean, there's 16 or 17 other agencies that do exactly that. And there's only one we have that is assigned to space. And Romney Ryan and Bill Posey believe that NASA needs to stay more keenly focused on space and not necessarily as much on climate study and change that are already being studied by 16 or 17 other federal agencies.
We're seeing Space Shuttle Atlantis retiring to museum life this week. It's kind of the final symbol of the Space Shuttle program being well and truly finished. What would Romney's plan do for the space industry workers still out of a job right now? Is there a short-term solution, in other words, in addition to a longer-term plan?
Well, they believe in the use of commercial space, sure enough. And the faster there is any firm vision for where space will go, I mean, you have people saying, well, everybody should just transfer over to energy. Well, these people did not go to college and did not develop their careers to be studying energy. You know, they want to be involved in space. They want to help the future Magellans and Marco Polos and Christopher Columbuses of our generation move forward for the survival of our species. And I think by setting forth these clear goals, you get everybody in sync and you help things be more predictable and more productive. You know, the biggest impediment to job growth in this nation right now, you hear it at every town hall, you hear it in every poll, you hear it in every survey, and I hear it from doggone near every single business person or job creator I talk to, and that is uncertainty. Nobody knows what the rules are going to be tomorrow. And so I think it's going to be important that people know what the rules are going to be tomorrow and know what we're going to do tomorrow and know where we're going to be going tomorrow and not just be in the eternal state of flux, trying to see which way the wind blows to determine tomorrow's policy.
Is there a plan for an increase in NASA's budget or for the budget for subsidizing the private ventures that you were talking about?
Well, you got to remember, Romney Ryan don't do the budget. The president doesn't do the budget. Congress does the budget. But I think NASA budget right now, NASA could live with if their mission was clearly defined, if they weren't involved in so many different things in so many different directions. Remember, as I said earlier, I think we asked NASA to do too much with too little. And I think Romney Ryan planned to improve that.
Could Romney guarantee in any way that Kennedy Space Center, that the Space Coast would remain the hub, the focal point for future space exploration and the jobs and economic benefits that come along with that for Florida?
Well, I don't think anybody's in a position to guarantee that. One thing I know is they won't lie about it. You know, Kennedy Space Center and Cape Kennedy are the Hollywood of space. Just like Hollywood is the epicenter for making movies, Kennedy Space Center and Cape Kennedy are the epicenter for space. I remember when Richard Branson was here, his World Traveler airplane had a problem and they landed at the Kennedy Space Center, and Branson stepped foot on the Kennedy Space Center for the first time. He just made a deal to do some testing and development in Nevada, and he just, you know, seemed like was wistful in actually being on the hallowed ground of this Florida Space Center that launched the first astronauts through the last astronauts that made it possible for the space station to exist, and who most consider, obviously, to be the future of space. And I don't think Romney Ryan would do anything to undermine that. I think they obviously would support it. You know, there's so many people involved in the space program all around the nation that are just not even aware of it. I mean, I remember I had my staff one time do some checking to see how much impact space had besides giving the weather report every day, providing people with GPS, providing people with access to cell phones and laptops and the availability of using credit cards, withdrawing cash from banks, all of which are satellite-linked. I had them look at specifically space's impact on Congressman Ryan's district, and there's space industry right in his district. There's space industry in everybody's district. The parts of these rockets and payloads that we send up here, you know, the nose cones are not just packed with cash that we send into outer space and evaporated into confetti. You know, this is technological know-how and American exceptionalism from the smallest towns in the smallest states to the largest cities in the largest states. From all over this country, you'd be amazed to see the sources of the product that goes into our space industry.
Congressman Posey, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.